Just shoot straight.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I wish bank CEOs and treasury secretaries and mortgage lenders would stop trying to reassure us, because every time they do, things seem to get a whole lot worse. The mortgage companies Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac are in so much trouble, the White House is considering a government takeover. That's according to the New York Times. And after some promises, the banks are about to unload more bad news on us. Bob Moon explains.
Financial stocks got a lift this week when J.P. Morgan chief Jamie Dimon spoke of better days to come, but the euphoria didn't last. Wall Street's bracing for a new round of bad news when banks report their latest profits starting next week. Seaport Securities stockbroker Ted Weisberg says investors have heard it all before. Hopeful talk followed by deeper losses.
People are skeptical, and they just are not accepting the verbiage. Talk is cheap. We need to see substance.
There was a hint of some actual improvement late yesterday. The Fed revealed investment banks didn't borrow from its emergency lending program over the past week, and commercial banks scaled back. But Weisberg says it'll take a lot more than one hopeful report.
I think what everybody would like to see is just some clarity. Where is the light at the end of the tunnel? And is the light at the end of the tunnel truly light, or is it a freight train coming at us?
He says investors fear the unknown, but they'll be able to focus on real results over the next few weeks.
Everybody's going to be taking a good hard look.
I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
The $9 drop in the price of oil this week was, as we suspected, a mirage. Oil's been steadily climbing the last 2 days, and this morning it's back in record territory at $144 a barrel. However, the stock markets did make some gains yesterday. The Dow climbed 81 points to 11,229. The NASDAQ added 22. The S&P 500 gained 8 to finish at 1253. Mixed results in Asia and Europe this morning. A Canadian company said yesterday it plans to build a pipeline that can pump millions of tons of CO2 a year. The idea behind this is to capture and store carbon dioxide emissions underground. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
The 150-mile pipeline through central Alberta would pump CO2 to old oil fields. Once there, the gas could be permanently injected into the ground as a way to squeeze out any remaining oil. It's a technique already in use, but Susan Cole, whose company Enhance Energy is building the pipeline, says this one's different.
Most of the projects that are in existence in the world today use naturally occurring CO2, whereas we're using an industrial source of CO2.
That source is primarily an oil sands processing plant. Cole says the pipeline could eventually pump 9 million tons of CO2 underground annually, the same as removing about 1.5 million cars from the road. But Greenpeace Canada's Mike Udima says that's only part of the story.
What's going on in Alberta is a huge greenwash attempt.
Udima says Canada's vast oil sands operation generates so much CO2 that it will soon eclipse the pipeline's projected savings by a factor of 10. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, partnering with Teach for America to bring math and science teachers to under-resourced public schools. More information at teachforamerica.org. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Sustainability Fund of the Tides Foundation, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
At this Summer Olympics, as far as swimming goes, it's all about the suit. These new body suits developed by Speedo and NASA have changed the sport forever. The U.S. swim coach says he won't be surprised if every world record is broken in Beijing because of what swimmers are wearing now. This is the perfect topic for our Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad. She has been a world record holder in swimming herself, for swimming more than 100 miles once. Diana, how exactly do these new swimsuits work?
Well, you know, the simplest way to explain it is you would think that looking at these very lean bodies, I mean, they don't have much body fat percentage on them. But the truth is, it's just like when you watch a runner in slow motion, you see even a 2% body fat, you know, body mm-hmm. has some jiggling of the flesh. And yeah. the same thing happens in the water. So this suit is so darn tight and the seams have been made so that the water crosses across them with such little friction that now that seemingly body fat free body really is like a slim little torpedo.
So it's better than swimming naked.
Oh, yeah. You know, way, way better.
And you've put one of these things on. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, not exaggerating, it took me 25 minutes with two friends to get it on. It's
Jeez.
Just like if anybody out there has put on a tight, thick wetsuit in the middle of winter, a thick one, you know, just quarter inch by quarter inch. And when I got that thing on, I mean, I have never looked so lean in my life. I was like a pencil.
I don't know. You're pretty lean.
No, I was like a pencil. And I wore it in the water. And, of course, I'm not a, you know, world-class sprinter like these people, but I felt the incredible zero resistance.
Now, how much do these suits cost?
They run in the neighborhood of around $550. Now, these top swimmers, of course, all get them for free.
But what about swimmers from, say, a poorer country that might not be able to afford a $550 suit?
Yes, you know, that's always the argument with any, you know, technological advance, isn't it? I mean, does every pole vaulter in the world get the advantage of the newest Teflon, boron, I honestly don't know what pole vaults are made out of, but they're not wood anymore. That's one thing we know. And I spoke with Stu Isaac, who's the CEO of Speedo, and he said, look, you know, even if a swimmer doesn't have a deal with us, if they're at the Olympic Games and they're going to be qualifying to get into the final heat, anybody who called me, they get a suit automatically.
And what do you think about the argument that this is essentially technological doping?
See, I can't get that. I mean, would we expect track runners to run in the same light little jersey and cotton shorts that Jesse Owens wore? I mean, of course, we're advancing all the time. Oh, we should swim in the pools of 1924? Or, you know, we should swim out in the, you know, in the bathtubs they used to swim in? Of course not. So I can't get any part of that argument.
All right, Diana Nyad, our Business of Sports commentator. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. And have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.